Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you about a sovereign Lord and human powerlessness. All of us come to times in our lives when we feel quite powerless. Most of us, I suppose, have been asked to do things which we felt totally incapable of. I remember the day when my baby was born. I was overwhelmed with a sense of utter inadequacy and poverty. Here was a human life utterly dependent upon me and my husband Jim. It brought tears to my eyes to think of the dependence of this little helpless girl. It brought tears to my eyes even more to think of my own powerlessness. My real feeling, and I wasn't just being foolishly humble, my real sense was, Lord, there is no way that I can adequately mother this child. But we've been talking about a sovereign God who loves to choose the things which are weak, to bring to naught the things which are. A sovereign Lord and human powerlessness. In my last talk, we referred to the story of Gideon. You remember that the Midianites had proved to be too strong for Israel, and the Israelites were forced to hide in hollow places in the mountains and caves and strongholds. The Midianites had taken over, destroyed the crops. They came up with herds and tents, the Bible says, like a swarm of locusts. They and their camels were past counting. So the Israelites were brought to destitution by the Midianites. Have you been brought to destitution in some way or other? Financially? Physically? Morally? Spiritually? Educationally? In what way have you been forced to recognize your own powerlessness? What did the Israelites do when they were brought to destitution? It says they cried to the Lord for help. And I hope you've done that. I hope that's not always the last resort in your life, to cry to the Lord for help. God uses people to help others. God uses men and angels, stormy winds to fulfill His word. He puts the moon in the sky as a faithful witness. He uses the handicapped. He certainly has in my life. I have handicapped friends who have taught me many things. He uses prayer, the prayers of others. I think of the prayer of my friend Van, as I told you about in another talk, when I was driving up a highway and could have been killed instantly by a head-on collision. We learned later that at that particular time, God had brought me to the mind of my friend Van, who was at home taking care of my daughter Valerie, and she had immediately prayed for me. Over the years, it has been suggested to me a number of times that it would be a good idea for me to have a radio broadcast, but I was absolutely powerless to do anything about it. I'm not any good at all at self-promotion, and it's not the kind of thing that I would have ever made an effort to bring about or bring into being myself. But I have a friend named Jan Anderson. She has sort of bugged my life over the past decade or more, and I don't mean that in a bad sense. She came to hear me speak a few times, and she wrote me some very nice letters, and when she was a missionary in Ecuador herself, she sent me a tape, and gradually I began to be conscious that this woman had something to say to me. And what she finally said was, "You're going on the radio." But it's an illustration to me of how God, who is sovereign, gets done what He wants done in ways that we cannot even imagine. And He usually makes use of people to do that. And if you were to ask Jan, do you think that you are the perfect producer or director? I'm sure Jan's answer would be no, 1,000 times no. Humility consists in recognizing ourselves for what we are. and this is important, in lovingly accepting to be so. It's one thing to say, oh, well, I'm no good, and I'm not really great, and I'm not perfect, and I'm not the best producer, and I'm not the best writer or the best speaker. To recognize your wretchedness, St. Francis de Sales has said, is not humility. It is merely not being stupid. Shall I repeat that? St. Francis de Sales says, to recognize one's wretchedness is not humility. It is merely not being stupid. But humility must include two things: the recognizing of ourselves for what we are, and the acceptance. The kingdom is not promised to the wise of this world, but to the little ones. And if we are to become little, knowledge must be accompanied by acceptance. Without acceptance, humility is not only incomplete, it simply doesn't exist. We must measure ourselves against God's greatness, against the eternal majesty of His love and His glory. If we just say to God, well, I'm but dust and ashes, then that's not enough. We must say, I am but dust and ashes, and we must glory in that poverty. We must rejoice in that. And as one writer has said, some modern spiritual writers have omitted from their teaching this prostration before God's majesty, performed with the silence and recollection which are part of humility and adoration. And that happened to be written a long time before television ministry, but I would add that there are not only spiritual writers, but spiritual speakers and television ministers who regularly omit this sense of prostration before God's majesty and the acknowledgement of our own poverty. And when they do that, they are concentrating too much on man and what man is, which prevents man from opening his heart to God. We need to have people help us to acknowledge what we are and to open our hearts to God. If we don't do that, we are shallow and unhelpful. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, what does that mean? That has nothing to do with economics, does it? The poor in spirit are those who recognize the truth about themselves. They are poor and needy and helpless and wretched. And we need the mercy of God. We need what He can give us. You remember what He said to one of the churches in the book of the Revelation. You are poor and wretched and needy and helpless, and you think you're rich. There was no acknowledgement of their own poverty. But real humility knows and accepts and even rejoices in that poverty, because it is our poverty that qualifies us to come and receive Christ's riches. It's in our weakness that we come to Him for strength. It's in the acknowledgement of sin that we ask for salvation. And when we look at the holiness of God, we say with Isaiah the prophet, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And when Gideon was given an assignment by God that he was chosen to lead the people of Israel, he was immediately smitten with the sense of his own helplessness and powerlessness. But the angel said, "Go in this strength of yours." And he said, "Me? Not me, surely. I'm the wrong one, the weakest in the family." But the word of the Lord came and said, "But I will be with you." Do you think it's any different today? The word of the Lord comes to you and me. "I will be with you. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And as Jan and I began this radio program, it was scary to me. She says it was scary to her, too. I find that hard to believe because she's such a pro. But I'd never done anything like this before. Why did we do it? Well, for the very simple reason that it seemed to both of us that it was the next thing God was asking us to do. And if it's something that God is asking us to do, don't we have a right to expect that He will be with us? That He will make up the slack in our own powerlessness? What He is asking of us is that we offer ourselves, that we make ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, an act of spiritual worship. When I think of missionary work, I think of the inadequacies, the failures, the prejudice, the personality clashes, the stupidity, the cultural faux pas, the clashes that went on between missions and between missionaries. Yes, believe me, they did. Why does God seem to bumble along using us bumbling human beings? Well, because he's sovereign, for one thing, because he has a purpose in mind to get things done in his way. Do you remember that wonderful old hymn, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform? He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. My house looks out over the Atlantic Ocean, and I often think of those words as I look out there. What mysterious ways God does choose. You can't make a path in the storm. You don't see anybody's footprints on those angry waves. But God knows how to plant his footsteps in the sea and ride upon the storm. Second stanza says, deep in unfathomable minds, with never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Those words were written more than 200 years ago by William Cowper, C-O-W-P-E-R. God, moving in mysterious ways, getting his work done, sovereign Lord and human powerlessness.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.